When we come to Mass, I know we don't come just to pass the time of day or for want of other things to do. We hope when we gather together as a community of faith that we will gain something, not acquire in a kind of commercial sense, but that our gathering will enrich us, that the Word will give us vision, the Eucharist will give us strength. When, however, we come upon a reading like tonight, today, this gospel from Luke that we just completed, I think for most of us, it's a most difficult reading. One of the commentators on this passage raises 13 different questions about the reading. She asks, you know, who's squandering? What is squandering? Who is it? Why is the dishonest steward being praised? Who is the master? Who is it the rich man? Is it, you know, lost income, dishonest? You know, I'm not going to talk on this. I'm not going to give a homily on this confusion. Very difficult stuff. But what I want to talk about today is what happens when we come upon passages like this that are very puzzling. And some other readings, some scripture that don't touch our heart, they miss us, they don't connect. And sometimes it's not our fault, and the scripture is not meant for everybody on one occasion every day. It has its purposes, but perhaps we're not getting it. Sometimes it is just very mysterious. So what do you do? I'm going to propose two schools of thought or two schools of action and then give you yet... No, I'm going to give you one school of action and then I've got a second school. Hang on. I'll remember this perhaps. First of all, the school of action called low fruit school. The low fruit school is that when we hear the readings and we don't understand or we don't hear it sometimes or God forbid the homilist is of no help, he might even excuse himself from commenting on the scripture entirely. But nonetheless, it doesn't connect. You know, like, Ben, think of that as high fruit and go for the low fruit. Both are very nourishing. And the low fruit is simply a thought. I don't get the whole thing. But by way of example, in the first reading today, we had the prophet so angry with these people who were cheating the poor. They were buying a person for sandals. They were taking the measures and playing with them. They couldn't wait until the Sabbath was over so they could open their stores. We might not be those people, but we might need a Sabbath. And the meaning of Sabbath and our preoccupation with work and all the tasks, some of them most necessary, but the preoccupation with that part of our life and not the rest that we share with the Creator of all good gifts. Low fruit, Sabbath. The second reading of Paul to 1 Timothy, for many of us, is kind of surprising. But it's surprising because it's not customary to us for think, because Paul says, I ask that supplication, prayers, petitions, and thanksgiving be offered for everyone, for kings, and for all in authority, that we may lead a quiet and tranquil life in all devotion and dignity. Who has thought recently of praying for kings, leaders, presidents, senators, governors? Maybe we don't pray enough. A little thought. a small piece of fruit that nourishes our spirit and enlivens our vision. The gospel, without reckoning all this deceitfulness and the praise of a dishonest steward and all that, we can at least sense the presence of crisis in this man's life. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. He's been cornered, he's lost his job, he has no future, and then he makes decisions to cheat his owner, cheat the master, and get out of town. Crisis, decisions, who we ally ourselves with, another thought, rather large piece of fruit from the lower limbs of the tree. That's the low fruit school. The next school is the nugget school. The nugget school I will portray by an example and a story. In the past week, I was at St. Augustine High School, where I live and work, and I had the mass for the boys. We have mass every week, 700 of them in the gym. We're on the brink of, will there be an uprising? Will they come at us? But we'd go in there, and we got the whole all gang, and we got all the faculty and so forth. I was giving a homily on blessing, how at the beginning of the school year I wanted to give them a blessing of their brains. True. And at the end, I actually had them bend their heads, lean their brain forward, and I gave them a grand blessing. A blessing for the school year, that they keep their balance. So many difficult things for adolescents. All kinds of pressures, expectations, and sports, and work, and family relations. Everything's coming in, like stuff thrown into a funnel, and all of it, the funnel is hitting them on the head. So balance. But I had to explain what a blessing was. And so I said, a blessing is confident words from a loving heart. That's what I want to give you. I want to express confident words from a loving heart, that you will have balance, that you will rest, that you will work, you will be focused, you won't go discouraged. After the Mass, one of our teachers, a young man who teaches English and Latin and is the soccer coach, said to me and announced he has a nugget school of religion, a nugget school of going to Mass. And his nugget school is he doesn't expect an awful lot from the homilist, which is wise. You'll never be disappointed. So he doesn't express a lot from that, but he always seeks for something from the readings or the homily that strikes his heart. He wants a nugget. He wants something to take home. And he told me, and it pleased me very much, that the nugget for last Wednesday was the meaning of a blessing. This little definition, which I almost, it was a throwaway, he had picked up. And he appreciated that's what a blessing is. He appreciated it because every night he blesses his children. He has two. He blesses them. He does it because he wants to. And yet, he didn't have words for it. And his boy, Owen, the older of the two children, is now at an age that he, the boy, asks his father, "What are you doing? What's going on?" He knows something is happening at night when he gets blessed. And Brendan, the father, says, "Well, I know Owen won't understand it, but I'm going to tell him. What I'm doing is expressing confident words with a loving heart. And someday he might learn. He might know what it's about." For Brendan, that nugget was very helpful to him, because now he had within his heart the words which were already with him, that he was and is giving confident words from a loving heart for his boy. That's a good nugget. And that's the sort of thing that perhaps we can, with more awareness of why we come to church, and the fact that often Scripture, the words, the homilies, it doesn't meet our needs. So be it. But there is low fruit. There are nuggets. And we need wisdom. We need vision. We need the Word of God to empower us and strengthen us for our journey, which is sometimes difficult, sometimes painful. That's the gift of our gathering, and it's a gift that we can expect to receive. We have a measure of entitlement. What we lack sometimes is the appetite, the eagerness to go after that low fruit or to seize the nugget. May the name of the Lord be praised.